Very good evening to you. It's Friday night, 7 o'clock. It is time for, as always, Revival Football, coming to you live from the studios in Cumbernauld. Wet, dreich, drab Cumbernauld tonight. But then again, it is the closing days of November. And it is Black Friday as well. Hope you've been busy in the shops today, been busy online. I think Celtic were hoping the transfer window would open today. They're on the lookout for a couple of centre-halves, I believe. You never know, they might get a bargain in the January sales. We'll be looking back at Celtic's shambolic performance last night at Celtic Park in the Europa League. Looking back at last week's results. As always, looking forward to the results and fixtures over the weekend. Casting our eyes down south, we'll also obviously look at the results in midweek in the Champions League for all England's clubs. All four clubs still in with a shout of going through. All four clubs, I think, still in with a shout of going out. Possibly Chelsea, the one exception. Jose Mourinho's men seem to be doing better in Europe than they do domestically. Joined as always by Dennis Newell tonight and live on the telephone, coming to us from Renfrewshire somewhere. We're joined by Clyde skipper Mark McLaughlin. Clyde in a great wee runner for him. And we've got Mark joining us around about 7:30 tonight to look obviously at the form of his, what we would imagine would be his final club. We'll be talking that and so much more tonight. But as always, I do start with the man to my right, the inimitable Mr. Dennis Newell. How are we doing this evening?
I'm fine, Cammy, thanks. Yourself?
Not too bad at all, not too bad. Hectic day today, the old Black Friday. I think people were getting in preparations today in the old parcels world. We had an extremely busy day today.
Yeah, that's your business line, so I'm sure it was, yeah. A lot of stuff on the television today, but is it just a build-up to Christmas, I think?
Yeah, well, that's retailers obviously getting in there today. You know, early, the crazy sales. I know myself have done a wee bit of shopping online. The wife did some this morning as well. You know, she sent me a text saying, is it all right if I spend a few quid on myself? Me being me, I says, no, of course it's not. But she managed to find the money from somewhere.
Yeah, I wonder if Celtic managed to get anybody on on the cheap today.
Yeah, well, as I say, on the back of last night's pretty poor performance. I was so uninterested or disinterested in the game. I had to ask you what the score finished when you came in tonight. You know, I did have a feeling it had finished 2-1, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah, well, we can get into a bit more depth as the night goes on. There's a bit more to it than meets the eye, I think, now, and the fact that they're out of that league section.
Yeah.
Not qualified.
Yeah, probably the best place to start would indeed be at Celtic Park. I did see on Twitter, after the game last night, former Celtic player Chris Sutton, I think, had been having a bit of a rant in his post-match analysis last night. I hadn't seen it, obviously. I haven't really had the time today, obviously, to watch any coverage of it, you know, any feeds on YouTube or whatever else. You know, I haven't seen any of that, so I dare say you've obviously seen it and you have your own opinions. I think Mr. Sutton's kind of been echoing what you've been saying for most of the season.
Definitely, and I was delighted to hear him having a rant when, in actual fact, people are sitting on the fence far too much about their feelings in the media, and there seems to be an element of fear. Chris Sutton's a breath of fresh air. You know, I listen to the commentaries in the football, and I listen to some of the radio stations, and some of these guys I know, if they're off air and I'm speaking to them, it's a totally different person that's on air. And I just wish they would stop thinking, this is a nice wee number I've got here, as long as I don't rock the boat. Rock the boat, the punters out there don't want to hear wishy-washy answers. Say it as you actually see it. And that's what Chris Sutton's done. I've seen him getting wound up a few times because he's not happy about the way Celtic are being run overall, because it wasn't directed generally at the manager last night or fully at the manager. He was talking about the club and the direction they were going, etc. And he was angry, which was refreshing because nobody else seems to be really caring. And I think he was taking the side of being a fan of the club and a supporter. And he was wholeheartedly putting his thoughts out over air, and it wasn't what the media would be saying is normal after a game. And I'm talking about people like the Gordon Strachans, Derek Johnsons, Gordon Dales, and people I know that basically, I'm sure they really want to say more, but there's a fear factor that if they overstep the mark, they might lose a slot in the show that they're on, when that's not what the public want to hear. They want to hear, as far as I'm concerned, that person's true thoughts on that particular game or the events that are going on at football. I'm not just talking about the Celtic game here. I'm talking about overall that basically that there's not enough being said to condemn or praise when it's needed in a Scottish game.
Yeah, a lot of sitting on the fence, pretty much in the media, as you say. The thing we've got, obviously, in Scotland, we have this divide between Rangers and Celtic, and we know obviously that the public tend to maybe sling a wee bit of mud the way of our pundits occasionally, you know, in terms of obviously if we have a player who isn't former Rangers or former Celtic. I mean, Sutton's nailed his colours to the mast. He was obviously at Celtic Park for a number of years, and probably Celtic's last decent European success, if you like, you know. Obviously Sutton was a part of that. So he's nailed his colours to the mast, you know, and guys you mentioned there, likes of Gordon Dalziel, likes of Derek Johnston, maybe have affiliations to the other side of Glasgow, you know. But yeah, it's something where you can't really be, journalists should be neutral, you know, but they don't really get the chance to be completely neutral. And you wonder if there's any of that, you know, in terms of, better not say too much just in case I alienate Rangers fans, or better not say too much in case I upset Celtic supporters. You know, my papers don't get bought, or, you know, my figures go down, or whatever else, you know. You think there might well be an element of that?
I think that's a certainty. You know, you look at what club they've been at, and I do believe that if they're outspoken and they say what they think, they'll be targeted by one side of the Glasgow, and that's a problem. Chris Sutton was doing it against the club that he played for and loved. If it had been Rangers, he wouldn't have done it. Mm-hmm. It's a certainty. And I wouldn't have expected him to do it. And that's the point I'd like to make. I don't expect Derek Johnson, as an example, we'll say, to give stick out to Celtic management or the way they're running their club.
Yeah.
But I would expect it to any other club in Scotland. And you might say, why? Well, because the friction it would cause, it would be mayhem. Chris Sutton done it because he's a Celtic, I would almost say legend, because I looked at the three that were actually there, Petrich, Hartson and Sutton, all doing the after-match commentary. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, what would Celtic do for the three players now?
Yeah,
you know, so you would say they're legends in the state of Celtic Football Club at this moment in time. I thought it was great in what he said, but I've heard them a couple of times, and I think I've maybe said on here as well, it was a breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. But a month or two ago he was talking, and it was Celtic game again he was covering. And it wasn't because it was criticism. It was his observation on basic things that footballers weren't doing. And that's where his frustration is. He's seen something that management team can't see. Mm-hmm. And the frustration is it's broken, mm-hmm, and they're not capable of fixing it. Chris Sutton is. And, you know, at this moment in time, I would get Reddy Collins and Ronnie Dyla and give Chris Sutton a job.
The one thing with that is Sutton's tried his hand at management and was an unmitigated disaster.
It's tongue-in-cheek.
That's the only problem, you know.
That's tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, there's probably an argument about could he do any worse than what the current management team's doing, because obviously Andy Millen, he is on his way, by the way, he's had a wee bit of car trouble, but Andy Millen has said on here in the past, I think the two of us are in agreement, you and I could sit here and manage Celtic to a title win in Scotland. You know, unfortunately, it's not really a reflection on how poor the likes of Derek McInnes is doing, or Robbie Nielsen's doing at Hearts or whatever. It's just the fact that Celtic's the gulf between Celtic and the rest of Scottish football at the moment, in terms of obviously the finances and everything else, means that a Celtic manager has an easy job in Scotland. You can't hide for that.
Yeah, but, you know, if you look at that Celtic team last night, through injuries and suspensions or whatever it was thrown against them last night, the team was almost a breath of fresh air by having to make changes. Mm-hmm. Changes that he couldn't see himself. So he was forced down that road. Now, the team that started very, very well. And obviously they've gone in front.
By the way, as does seem to have been Celtic's want in Europe this season. I've lost count the amount of times you've sat there and said Celtic started well last night. I was impressed with how good Celtic were, mm-hmm, at the start of the game, or their great first 45 minutes and lost a late goal. Or,
yeah,
you know, you've said that umpteen times this season sitting there.
The start and then the fade, which in days of old, your Celtic or Rangers done the very opposite. Mm-hmm. They got stronger as the game went on, and the amount of times that the Old Firm won matches in the last dying seconds of, yep, games, and that's a sign of good teams, and it's a sign of a bad team if you go in front and you can't hold on to it. I mean, mm-hmm, the defence is getting worse by the week. Now, I believe some supporters actually applauded the team as they come off. Why are they applauding a team that is just rank rotten in my eyes as a Celtic team? It's not a bad team. If you take the rest of your Premier League, we're talking about European football here, which is the expectations of the Celtic support and also a team that should be of better quality. Premier League, no, we'll not take it for granted. They've still got a bit to do to win that. But as far as performances in Europe, they are an embarrassment, and the coaching staff have got to be held accountable for it, because when it's broken, you try and fix it. It's the same thing week in and week out. It's, mm-hmm, 10 games and European ties that haven't won a match.
Yeah.
I mean, that's horrendous. So I think that the Celtic board have got to look very closely at what the long-term plan is for Celtic Football Club in Europe, not in the domestic, mm-hmm, game. It's taking care of itself, and that's because the rest are not coming up to the mark. And you know, Kilmarnock done their best last week, but I believe that Celtic are not as good as Ronnie Dyla and John Collins would make you think.
At the end of the day, the yardstick for any Celtic manager in charge, obviously, at Parkhead, has to be European football. The Premier League will take care of itself, you know, let's be honest. So the yardstick has to be European football, and the two of them have failed abysmally. You know, the as you see, Collins, Dyla, John Kennedy, I think, has obviously got to be included in that as well, you know, as part of the Celtic coaching staff. They have all failed their supporters. Their board has maybe failed them, but ultimately, mm-hmm, let's be honest, how can a Celtic board back these guys to the hilt when, as you say, 10 games they have not won in Europe? They didn't have a particularly difficult qualification for the Champions League. One would say it was probably the easiest qualification that Celtic could have asked for, you know, to get to the Champions League. They managed to make a mess of that. Would you say the group was particularly hard that they've got in the Europa League? I don't think so. Ajax are by no means the masters of football that they once were. You know, they're a side who have struggled consistently to do well in the Champions League over the last number of seasons. PSV Eindhoven are maybe not doing too badly just now in the Champions League, in as much as they're still in with a shout of qualifying, yeah, when it comes to the last game, you know, in the Dutch league. But the other two sides in Celtic's group, would you say they were particularly
Fenerbahce
difficult?
Fenerbahce and Mulder.
Fenerbahce and Mulder. You know, okay, Mulder have gone and brought back
Solskjaer,
yep, in terms of obviously manager. But when you look at how they're doing in the Norwegian league, they're a mid-table side.
Yeah, but, you know, I still look at Norwegian football as almost amateurish.
Yeah,
I don't mean that,
yeah,
in the wrong way, but their whole infrastructure and everything is no set up the way that Celtic are, mm-hmm, or the Old Firm. We've got to remember that when you filter back down through the system, some of our clubs are, what would you say, overrated, mm-hmm, in relation to where we are in the food chain, yep, when you look at English non-league clubs and the way they're set up. But if you take our top teams in Scotland, we are far better equipped personnel-wise, stadium-wise, than our Norwegian friends. Nothing wrong with Norwegian players, but there is
Well, they came a lot closer to qualifying for the Euros than we did.
And that's what I was going to say. They have got stronger in the last 20 years because they've kept their game simple. We have complicated our game, which we went into in great depth last week, and we carried it on for another 40 minutes when we went off air, simply on the back of where this coaching's all going. So, you know, you look at Norway and you say to yourself, we're no better than them anymore as a nation, never mind the club level, but Celtic should be miles ahead of an Ajax team who's littered with youth players.
Yeah.
Littered with youth players. They're putting on 18, 17-year-olds in that game last night, and they're making Celtic look very, very ordinary.
Yeah.
But just going back to, and I've raised the point before, is it Lowell and the board of directors that are responsible for the situation that the club's in, or is it the management? And I think between the two, the manager is not well enough equipped and doesn't have the experience to get Celtic to that next level.
Mm-hmm.
As you've mentioned, and we keep saying it, people in the studio here could go and manage Celtic to the point of winning the Premiership. That's neither here nor there. What we're really looking for is a team that can be competitive in the Europa League, no Champions League, because they've not got the finances to compete in there.
No.
But certainly in the Europa League, Celtic have got enough money to at least get past the league stages.
Well, to certainly get through a weak league, but Celtic's consistent poor performances in Europe, and we obviously must conclude Rangers because we're going back to a five-year period, means that the coefficient for the coming season is now going to be the worst it's been for a number of years. And that's only going to make Scotland international, Scotland internationally, the job for them much more difficult. Whatever sides get into Europe, they're going to be battling against even greater minnows than what we're doing. Maybe that's what we need right enough. We maybe need to actually tear the book up and start it all again, you know. But it's easy enough to blame the board. It's easy enough to blame the management. But as you're talking there, how much of it do you have to actually lay the blame for at the supporters as well? Because they've consistently put up with the tripe that they've been fed by consecutive Celtic boards in terms of, obviously, well, let's be honest, we're well off financially, you know what I mean? You look at the structure, we're in profit and, you know, we've got a healthy balance book and, you know, our balance sheet and whatever else. Celtic fans have consistently swallowed that garbage, you know, and put up with it rather than fighting against it, you know, rather than coming out against things like that, you know, and say, well, wait a minute, we don't particularly want to be here. We want to be competitive.
But, you know, the way I look at it is, would you give Ronnie Dyla and John Collins £5 million to go and buy a player?
I want to give them five bob.
Correct. And the way I look at it is that you've then got a board who is, in my eyes, then controlling what type of player comes in, because the management team can't identify a player that is good enough to come in and be part of a Celtic team that's going forward. That team is littered with failures. It's also a situation where when something goes wrong, the manager's not capable of actually addressing it and fixing it. And what you find then is, would you give somebody money to go out there and maybe have a try, what you call a one-hit wonder? He comes in and he's got eight or nine players around about him that are not capable of servicing what that particular player requires. One player is not the quick fix for this club. And that's because the appointment has been poor in relation to the quality that's been brought in since the manager was appointed.
Mm.
He's still dealing with a lot of players that he inherited because the players that he's actually signed are not good enough. You know, if we also look as well, the boy Allen gets thrown in the deep end there last night and he has an absolutely magnificent pass through the defence, which I've been crying out for the Celtic midfield to do, onto Griffith, who just was off the boil last night totally, and he didn't finish. The lad also, because I felt the tempo of the game when he comes on, very difficult to match it. He gets caught in possession and they go up and they get their goal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could point the finger and say two things. One, why was he not on earlier when he made a difference early on? And two, what do you expect the boy to do when he's coming on and he's never been given a run out?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he had the same problem with Griffiths, if you remember. I sat here saying that Griffiths should be chapping the door and saying, let me go for this club, aye, because you have no intention of playing me. Now, his whole team and philosophy is built around Lee Griffiths.
Yep.
So why does it take so long for him to identify there's a fix? Right, let's get him in there. And that's what I think's happened with the boy Allen. It's too late now.
Mm-hmm.
It's too late.
But you look at what he's brought in, you look at the players he's brought in from Scottish football in the last season, you know, the last 6 months, obviously Allen, Mackay Stephen, the boy Armstrong for Dundee United.
And the forward.
You know, and where are they?
Yeah.
You know?
They're playing last night.
You're closer to playing for Celtic than half of them.
Aye, I'm only 20 mile away. But the thing is, Armstrong, Mackay Stevens were playing last night. Now, another lad that I keep giving a bit of stick to, if you want to call it that, is the wee boy Forrest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was invisible up to 70 minutes. And see, when he started to play, it was electric. And I thought, come on, son, why are you just turning up in parts of the game? At that level, you can't afford to just switch on when it suits you. 70th minute, he came alive. And what a difference he made. He was starting to go past people. He was riding tackles. He was picking out passes. And I'm thinking, where has that been for the last month? I've not seen you doing any of that. So it shows the boy's capable. So what's he been fed before he goes out onto the park? Nothing for 70 minutes. So you look at that and you say to yourself, there's talent if the manager and the coach can get them to play. And they just look so fragmented, Cammy. It's, you know, I almost feel a rant in relation to, what do you say beyond saying they're a mess when it comes to Europe?
Yeah.
And the manager has got to start realising it's no perfect. I heard briefly a party's interview today saying that, you know, we've learnt from this experience and we'll be better next year. I've heard many a manager talking in the future and they're never there.
How many next years are Celtic going to have? You know, let's be honest, Celtic at some point in time need to live for the here and now. You know, and unfortunately they can't keep persisting in, well, we're going to be better next season, or we're going to be better, you know, we've got a 5-year plan or whatever else, you know. Celtic fans expect some modicum of success, and success for Celtic should not be winning the Premier League in Scotland, because that should be a foregone conclusion.
At this moment in time, yes. Yeah. But what's really frustrating me about it is I'm sitting there watching, no matter who it is, whether it's Manchester United, Rangers, Celtic, or whoever it could be, and I'm looking for a glimmer of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard watching Celtic at this moment in time producing anything other than thinking, that's an hour and a half of my life I don't get back.
Yeah.
And I actually come away from the television a wee bit angry that, is that what we're getting served up now? It's dire. And that's why I have a go at the manager and the coach, simply because at the end of the day, it's no good enough for the paying public who are being shortchanged. Back to what you're saying, they're loyal. You'll not get many more loyal supporters. There's two teams in Glasgow, and they must be the most loyal in the whole of the world. And that's debatable anywhere you want to go. I'm not talking about the nut jobs. I'm talking about true loyal supporters.
Yeah.
And Celtic and Rangers, it takes a lot to actually better their loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And at this moment in time, I think Celtic supporters have been shortchanged.
Yep, indeed. Well, looking at other results from last night, in Celtic's group, obviously we know Celtic lost 2-1 at home to an Ajax side who have largely disappointed, by the way, throughout the Europa League as well. And Molde, they lost at home to Fenerbahce. And that pretty much means that Molde, they've already qualified anyway. Last night, had they get anything short of losing, they'd won the group as well. You know, that was their first defeat in five in qualification. But they topped the table from Fenerbahce, who are 2 points clear of Ajax, with Celtic, obviously, foot of the table, you know. So Ajax know they need a result next week, or next game, obviously, against Molde, I would assume. Fenerbahce of Celtic to play. Ajax need to beat Molde and then hope that Celtic gets some kind of result against Fenerbahce.
I don't care now. That group's done. Yep. You know, for Scotland, that group is done. And when the final whistle is, I never even looked after that, where the league was happening. It's pointless from where I'm stacked up, I want to see Scottish teams being successful, and then I just pull the shutters down because that league means nothing to me
now. But that's that exactly.
You then start to say, okay, that's the section of the Europa League gone. That's our Thursday night football as far as Scotland's concerned, finished. Mm-hmm. Right, let's start going, as we keep talking about in here, the real football, and get back into the Champions League business.
Yeah.
Which obviously, there was a few decent results in that as well.
Yeah, a few decent results. We'll just finish off with the Europa League. Obviously, some other British interest in it. Liverpool, they're obviously qualified now, following last night's victory over Bordeaux. Sion of Switzerland, they're second in that table, and they look as though they'll go through ahead of Rubin and Bordeaux. The other games, Krasnodar and Borussia Dortmund are through. Napoli and the Danish side, I think they're Danish anyway, that whatever they are, they look as if they're going through. Napoli have won all their games. Villarreal and Rapid Vienna are going through. Braga and Marseille, you would have to say. Lazio and St Etienne, Besiktas Lokomotive, and Spurs are obviously going through as well, you know, ahead of it. But you're looking through that Europa League, there is nothing there, with the exception of two or three players, that should have been better than Celtic. And no. that's through umpteen groups of four, you know.
Well, you've got Spurs there and you've got Liverpool there.
Spurs, Liverpool, Anderlecht with a bit of history.
Aye, there's a bit of an interest in actually watching some of these games. But when you've got the Champions League on two nights in the trot probably before them, it takes a bit of a second prize, you know, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
But Celtic need to get their act together. I don't want to see managers sacked, but I'll tell you what, he's deluding himself if he thinks that he's going to get time here for next season to produce the same rubbish he's produced this whole season in his European campaign.
Yep, indeed, indeed. Well, Champions League, as you say, Dennis, results there throughout the qualification from Tuesday night. It was Bate 1, Leverkusen 1, Barcelona 6, Roma 1, Arsenal 3, Dinamo Zagreb 0, obviously keeping Arsenal's hopes alive, along with Bayern Munich's gubbing of Olympiacos. It keeps them in the game. Porto 0, Kiev 2, Maccabi Tel Aviv 0, Chelsea 4, Zenit 2, Valencia 0, and Lyon 1, Ghent, I think that's their first victory in Europe, 2. You know, so these are game results pretty much you would expect. Chelsea, they've kept their chances of winning the group, and Arsenal have kept their chances of qualification.
Barcelona, what a team they are at this moment in time. 6-1 against Roma. Yep. I thought that match might have been quite tight. I don't know what made me think that. But I was well off the mark. Ronnie Dyla and I probably predicted that the same. It would be a tight game, but we were miles away.
Indeed.
No, that was a magnificent result. And obviously, I don't know if you watched it, but last weekend was the big two were playing. And well, they know in fire.
Yep, indeed. Absolutely brilliant. Indeed. Well, we are now joined by Andy Millen. A wee bit of car trouble, but you've braved it anyway and you've got here.
Yes, at last, Cammy. Not a good Friday evening, so let's hope the rest of it can continue in a better vein of form.
Black Friday, right enough for yourself, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, but you've not really missed much. We were giving Celtic a slaughtering for quite some time, you know, unfortunately, in the back of another disappointing European performance last night.
I'm sure the two of you have covered everything, Cammy. For me, Celtic's, I've said this on here numerous occasions, in terms of Scottish football, they're miles in front. In terms of European football, they're miles behind.
Yep.
And there has got to be a realism now. I think even the supporters have got that now, because of the way the club is getting run and because of the quality of player, which isn't good enough. That's the bottom line.
Yep, indeed, indeed. Mr. Sutton, obviously, I think had a bit of a rant after the game. I think he'd been sitting maybe listening to Dennis on occasions, you know. But
unbelievable.
I think he slaughtered everybody for the T woman at Celtic Park.
I just look, and you look back to maybe, even if you want to go back to Martin O'Neill's, even Gordon Strachan's era, Martin O'Neill's era, where they had big nights and big occasions. And I know, I understand that they'll come down to budgets. Mm. I understand that. And then you go to even Neil Lennon taking them into the quarterfinals. But they've no move forward. If anything, they've slipped drastically. Drastically down the way.
The thing is, though, that we've made an acceptance that Celtic are not a Champions League team anymore. And the idea is you set your stall out for where you would go. So like we've talked about before, Andy, you look at the league fixtures and you go, we'll win that match, we'll maybe draw that, we'll lose that one, right, fine. And you go through and you can almost calculate the points, if your team's doing well, what you'll have at the end of the season, right? We've done that with Celtic. We've done it with the Champions League and say, look, they're not up to the mark because the financial restraints that they've got, just you can't compete with the big boys in the Champions League. But when you filter it down, and as we touched on, the ones that were in the section or the league that they were in the Europa League, they've ended up bottom with a banana skin, and it was embarrassing.
Yep.
The football was embarrassing they were playing. They've got naivety there that you could go in an amateur game on a Sunday and see them better organised and a better understanding than a full-time team like Celtic.
I don't understand. I never saw the game. I'm not going to the BT Sport, but I heard Ronnie Dyer's interview after the game, and I'm 50 now, and I've obviously been brought up in Glasgow, seen your Celtics and your Rangers, and I've never heard an old firm manager talking about developing a team. I mean, I think Ronnie Dyer, unfortunately for him, maybe doesn't realise, just the same as Martin Warburton, maybe getting a wee bit of heat just now, but the man beside him, John Collins, should be trying to give him a bit of advice and say, by the way, the club that you're at, you don't develop. You maybe develop in terms of improving and challenging in the Champions League, but he's not got time to develop players and do this. No chance.
But you know something, I've heard them saying that on numerous occasions now.
No chance.
And you know what that is? That's him trying to look for a safety net.
No chance.
That's a safety net that he's thinking, well, if they understand I'm here to develop, and I've heard them saying I'm here to develop.
Celtic fans will not have that.
No
chance.
No.
I mean, you only have to look at the crowd just now. So at one time, Celtic Park, and I was very fortunate at times in my later in my career to go and play at Parkhead in full houses, and that was against the St Mirren team. Now, you're not even getting any of that. They can put 40,000 or 45,000 season tickets. They're not even getting that at the games now. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, the fans are actually no going to the games, and that's the bottom line. There's no atmosphere at Celtic Park. Nothing.
And you would expect it. Let's be honest. How many times have you taken Celtic Ajax, and you would you would shoot your granny for a ticket for that
full
game?
House.
You know,
that's it.
You know, and as you say, the lack of interest is quite alarming. You know, and is that a measure of the fact that Celtic fans have accepted the fact that is when it comes to Europe, their side is abysmal?
It's how the product is marketed what the performance is. The product is garbage when it comes to European nights. They will fill it on a Saturday because, I'll use the word, it's religious for people to go to their matches on Saturday. It doesn't matter, Airdrie, Queen of the South, whatever. It's a religion to go and watch your game. And Celtic and Rangers supporters will always turn up in their droves on a Saturday. But now, one, you've got it on the TV, and two, you've got the choice of saying, hey, wait a minute, if it's anything like the last time we were in Europe, would we really want to go there?
I mean, Celtic will go and play Inverness on Sunday, and without being disrespectful, John Hughes, they'll beat Inverness. But that that's only covering the cracks, it's not only camouflaging things, and it isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom line is there's got to be a realism there. They're just miles behind in European football at the moment.
Indeed.
But he's still defending players that, to get him to the next stage, if he's going to be a manager of anything at all, if he wants to be successful in this job, he's got to throw caution to the wind now and say that people like Scott Brown, people like that, they're not good enough to take him to that level. Now, unfortunately, Scott Brown's got quite a bad injury, and it may be for the better of Scott Brown that he has this rest and he gets repaired and he comes back stronger for it, because I've gave that boy a bit of kicking in here, but I do believe as well he's not played at full fitness for a long, long while, and it's affected his Scotland team performances and his Celtic performances. And I do believe that Ronnie Dyler would have played him in crutches without actually seeing the lacklustre performances that he was given that team.
But the one thing that will happen now, as you know yourself, Dennis, that he's injured now, but up to our people now to step up to the plate and see if they can take the 2 or 3 months that he's going to be out. Are they going to lead by example and take over the mantle that he's allegedly got?
Well, ready made for me, if he's given the opportunity, is a boy Allen. And I've seen it sheer brilliance in the ball he put through to Griffiths last night when he was only on the park for 5 minutes. But that's all the boy's getting. He's getting minutes to play, and you can't be a world beater without getting a run.
Yep, indeed. Well, obviously, moving away from Celtic, we did get away from it there, but back to when Andy joined us in the studio. But we're joined tonight, having a wee upturn in forum, as obviously we're local community club Clyde, and we are joined tonight by Clyde skipper Mark McLaughlin to look at the upturn in results down at Broadwood. Mark, how are we doing?
Very well, thanks.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
No, not a problem, any time, you know that.
Yep, indeed. Let's be honest, the results have turned recently, you know, and on the back of three or four fantastic results, scoring goals, finding performances, and probably Barry Ferguson's best run of results and performances since they took over.
Yeah, the last few weeks have been enjoyable. You know, it's been hard, obviously. The 4 weeks before that, you know, we went through a wee spell, we weren't doing well. We were training hard, things were great in training, but just couldn't take that onto the pitch. But as you say, a wee change, a wee bit of luck, maybe a lady luck, you know, and he starts scoring goals. Defensively, you know, as a team, not just the defence, but as a team, I think we're probably the best defence actually in the league.
Yeah.
So, as you say, it was scoring goals was my problem. And that's not just, obviously, the strikers, from midfielders, obviously, defenders chipping in as well. And it kind of seemed to kind of start working this late last couple of weeks. So, you know, we need to continue doing that. Obviously, this weekend, we've got no game. But just, obviously, train hard tomorrow and see what happens next week.
Yep. As you say, defenders have been chipping in. I think maybe one of the criticisms, you know, fans are obviously critical anyway, but one of the criticisms had maybe been that the strikers hadn't scored enough. You obviously chipped in a couple of weeks ago. David Gormley, I think who fans, despite the fact he wasn't scoring goals, I think listening to supporters, fans had actually generally been on his back and had been willing the guy to score. Well, he certainly got that monkey off his back last weekend.
Yeah, it's been hard. To be fair, it's been hard for him because at times he's played up front himself, and midfielders haven't probably been close enough to him because we're not maybe from defence squeezing the game enough.
Yep.
But that's something we've been working on in training with the gaffer and Bob, just to try and get us up the park quicker, so it's actually helping him more. And see, you've probably seen that in the last two results. You know, he scored 5 goals. In two games, you know, and he just needs to continue to do that. But away from his goals, he does a lot more for the team other than his goals. You know, he takes the ball in well, and you know that's a big massive for us. You know, him taking the ball in, it allows us to get up the park to bring in players like Scotty McLaughlin, Scotty Linton, you know, young Fergie, who's had a bit of form the last 3 weeks.
Yeah,
you know, so it's a good change just now, but there's a long way to go. You know, Annan just now are setting the pace and doing fantastic. And they've been together 2 or 3 years now with Jim Chapman. So he's built a team there that's going challenge. To be honest, we played Elgin. I thought they were decent. Queen's Park. So we know it's going to be hard, but listen, we want to go up there challenging. The gaffers went and get players who want to go and try and win this league. And, you know, that's what we want to aim to do. And hopefully we can continue the form we're on just now.
Yep.
Hopefully, better or thereabouts.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that, as you say, the gaffer's done is he has brought in not just yourself, obviously, but other guys with a bit of experience. You know, guys, as you say, even likes of McLaughlin, Linton, you know, Shug Murray as well. You know, he brought in Hugh Murray. You know, who I'm sure in the dressing room, you'll obviously know him for your time at Dumbarton. I'm sure in the dressing room, guys like him, yourself, a bit of character in there, you know, and bringing through some of these young guys like Sir Ferguson.
The dressing room's fantastic, you know. The boys all got on great. There's no cliques of that, you know. Everybody's we know what we want to do this season. It's not, you don't just turn up and expect to win a league. It's going to be hard no matter what division you play in. You know, people can say, oh, Clyde went out and signed your Scott Lintons, you know, Higgies, you know, John Paul, you know, You've got to still go and battle for 60 minutes, maybe even a bit more, to then, you know, earn the right to actually get the ball down and play football. And that's at any level. You know, it doesn't matter if you're in the bottom division in Scotland or the top division. You've got to earn the right to win a league. And it's a long season, you know, but a wee bit of turning form and then hopefully we can continue that and actually probably build on that, you know, and keep going. But it's going to be hard, you know. Teams will be we try to win it as well, but you know, I think we've just got to keep going, and you know, we'll be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, you talk about the side there you've assembled. Do you feel that maybe makes you targets this season for a change, Mark?
Yeah, probably, because obviously people will be thinking, oh, you signed player from Championship, they must be throwing all sorts of money about. But to be honest, that's not the case. You know, people want to come and actually play for Clyde and actually play for, obviously, the Gaffer and Bob. You know, that's probably a big draw for Clyde, is actually having Barry Ferguson as a manager. You know, people were going, well, I want to go and play for him because they see what he's done in his career, and obviously he's what he do well as a manager. But people obviously want to go and win the league. You know, you've got to get respect to sports like that. Archie Campbell coming through Championship, Scotty Linton. For me, Scotty Linton in the Championship was probably one of the best left-sided players in the Championship. I played him at the bottom. You know, I rate him highly. You know, I can't believe the boy's never been full-time. You know, and he's got him down because he's sick of playing for the bottom and being defensive, not being allowed to go and express himself. So he's dropped down to try and go and express himself and also win trophies. You know, that's what they've came to Clyde for, to try and win stuff. You know, but as I say, it's not an easy thing to do. You know, it's a long season and it's hard work that'll get you there. But, you know, every team, the other teams that we think, say, Man and Queen's Park, you know, there's very, very little between every team. So we just need to make sure where it's 60 minutes, 80 minutes, you need to make sure you're winning that battle, and hopefully you can get the kind of crucial goal.
Mark Dennis Newell here. Glad to see you're climbing up the table, but looking at some of the last three results, you're not just climbing up the league, you're actually doing the same with goals. 3, 4 and 5. Do you think the next game you'll maybe get 6?
Dennis, you hope not. Is he Stirling?
Well, there's a good chance then.
Listen, not at all. It's worked out that way, but the most important thing is we make sure we defend from the front to the back, and it's important we do that, and then make sure when we're getting up the park we squeeze as a unit. And that's, as I say, that's what we'll be working on at training with the Gaffer and Bob. If the goals come like that, if you score 3, 4, 5 and 6, brilliant. But if you score 1 and 2 and you can't keep a clean sheet at the back, that's just as important. You know, for us, keeping the goal difference down is massive, especially being a defender. You know, for me, getting a clean sheet is as good as scoring a striker scoring a goal.
Yeah.
You know, as long as the strikers continue to score goals and the midfielders chip in as well. I mean, Scott McLaughlin, he's been playing probably more forward in the last few weeks, and he's arriving late in the box, and he's getting chance after chance. For me, I'll just be a matter of time before he starts scoring as well. But I see, it's not easy. I'll take another 20 games winning 1-0. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter if it's scoring goals, as long as we're winning the games.
But I think when you're a central defender, if your team's 3 goals up, your composure at the back is a lot easier to be picking out passes. The pressure's not on you the same as it maybe was for the first half dozen games, where, you know, your backs are against the wall. I mean, I go back to one game as an example at Broadwood that I was at, and it was against East Stirling. And in the first 15, 20 minutes, you could have been 5 up. Mm-hmm. The goalkeeper was out of this world. And right away, they go up the park, and you can see it. There's a bit of pressure, whereas if you're 2 or 3 goals up, that composure and confidence, and you feel better for it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And see, to be honest, I mean, some of the games we've played, we've been 3 goals up, and I still don't think we're showing enough composure on the ball. You know, I think that's something obviously we need to improve on. As you say, maybe relax a bit more. But I mean, we played Albion Rovers last year, and we 2-0 up, and we absolutely battered them, and they actually come back and the second half beat 3-2, and that was the day they clinched the league. And it was probably the biggest doing of what we gave our team in 45 minutes, and we went in 2-1 up. But as you say, you should be more comfortable on the ball when you are a couple of goals up. But that's something I think we need to improve on. We need to have that confidence to take the ball and to demand it. Because John Paul McGovern, who's played down in England, you take the ball all day, but you need to make sure everybody, for the experienced ones, to the young kids who are coming through, you know, they need to be demanding the ball as well. Young Fergie, who's had an up-down season so far, but the last 3 games, he's been great. You know, last week, probably wouldn't be one of his best games, but I tell you what, he worked his socks off, and see that'll make him go places, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Matt
will have a good game all the time, but see if you work for 90 minutes, you work your socks off, and the guy you're playing against doesn't play, that's priceless, yep. You know, and that's something he done last week, and that helps your team going forward as well, you know.
Marco and the Melanie, how are you doing?
Right, mate, I have no bad
news. I'm just listening. I'm sure that all the things that you're saying, all the good points you're making, they'll actually get better as you continue the season, because you've actually kicked on now the last three or four games. I'm sure the squad of players you've got are actually tipped cheese to win the league, and I'm sure that'll come. You know?
Yeah, I hope so. And it's good, obviously, you know yourself, you've been assistant manager, won leagues as a player. You know how hard that is, but
it's difficult. I mean, the right things you're saying, Mark, that you've got to compete first and foremost.
Yeah,
you know, and the players you've got, if your squad of players do that, I honestly believe that 9 times out of 10 you'll win more games than what you lose, definitely. You know, and I'm just looking at your league now. I mean, you're up there in terms of goal scoring terms now with 24 goals for, and you're actually the team that's lost the least goals with 15 against. So you're getting it right at the back. You've just actually got to go and kick on now and score more goals and obviously win more games. And you'll get where you want to be at the end of the season.
Definitely. The most important, as you say, is just getting that confidence and that we can actually go and probably that belief. You've got experienced players there, but some of the experienced players haven't won titles, you know, so it's new to them as well. You've got to learn, who I speak about, and I keep going on about Scotland, but for me, he's a fantastic left-sided player, and he actually cuts in great right foot. But he's not played at a level. He's won stuff, so that's new to him as well. You know, he can play this level all day, but he can play the championship all day.
No, the one thing that your team is full of, Mark, from if you want to say yourself in defence, right through to the striker area, you've got players that have all played at a good level of football.
Yeah,
no doubt about that. Yeah, you know, and some have played right at the top level. I mean, if you go yourself, McLaughlin, Murray,
definitely.
You've even got John Paul McGovern. You know, as you rightly say, he's played down in England and that. So there's bags of quality.
Higgy to come back as well. He's been out injured with a groin.
Yep.
So you've got Sean Higgins to come back in. You know, it's going to be a hard one for him to get back in, where the boy Gorms is scoring goals, but it's competition for places, and you know yourself, that's what you want.
Oh, you can't beat that, Mark. Keeps everybody on their toes. You know,
definitely.
And then that's the most important thing. Make sure everybody's hungry. And the smaller squad you've got, I always believe you're better with quality rather than quantity. And that way,
the
players, even on the bench, they realise they've got an opportunity of possibly playing as well. Whereas when you've got a big squad, Mark, and you've been there at maybe other clubs when they've got hundreds of players, it doesn't, if you want to say, create a good atmosphere, I don't think.
No, listen, Andy, I totally agree. I was at Morton and we had a small squad. We finished second in the following season. The chairman cut the budget. We ended up with a massive squad, but paid them less money, and we ended up getting relegated.
Yeah, without a doubt, Mark, 100%.
I think you go with a smaller squad and better experience, but obviously you keep a bit of youth as well, because they're hungry to do well. And I think we've got a good blend just now. You know, and it seems to have worked the last couple of weeks, but it's because of hard work and training. The boys in training, every one of them work their socks off because they want to do well. And the training is fantastic as well. You know, everybody enjoys it. But you've got to take it on a Saturday. You know yourself, it doesn't always. You can't leave it at training and then expect to turn up on a Saturday and you can just roll teams over. That's the only way it is, especially Scottish football. You know, it's a battle. No matter if you're in the juniors, whatever division, you need to win the battle before you win a game.
Mark, you'll need to keep winning, because this studio is a nightmare with Cammy in it. It's totally suicidal. About 4 weeks ago, he was ready to go out there looking for a razor blade. So you need to keep winning.
He's probably going to go there actually look for me. Like.
Yeah, maybe so. But it's brilliant. And keep it going, because obviously you're our local team, and we love to see you doing well. You know, I can't believe that Andy's Tipchies and Gussie's mate is at Queen's Park. So you never know. Maybe there's something in that.
I know my allegiance. Don't worry about it, Marco.
Right. Listen, big guy, I know obviously we've interrupted you on a Friday night, so I'll let you get back to things, but thanks very much for obviously.
I'm just overseeing my friend, just just had a new baby, so I'm just overseeing them just now.
No worries, mate.
Remember and rest up, because you'll enjoy tomorrow, I'm sure.
Brilliant.
That's it.
Right, guys, great speaking to you.
All right, mate, cheers.
Take care.
Bye bye now. And by the way, the James Bond movie's rubbish.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers, pal.
Cheers,
Matt McLaughlin joining us there. As we say, we did have him tipped off for last week, but obviously something cropped up. But that was a good 15-20 minutes there talking Clyde. Sorry, Dennis, I know we did half an hour last week and 20 minutes this week. That's us done. We'll leave it to Andy's tips going to win the league.
Yeah, it could well be. I mean, you know, we sat here and you were ready to write them off, and I kept saying, you know, it's amazing what can happen in three games.
Yeah,
and that's what's definitely happened. They've gone and been successful, and they will kick on. I mean, seriously, now I'm beginning to wonder.
I think
Queen's Park and Clyde are going to be the two teams, as far as I'm concerned. Yours is well out there, and you're not going to make it, Cammy.
Oh, mine are still sitting in runners up, but
I know, but they'll take cramp around about Christmas.
But it's good that, I mean, I've known Marco for a few years, and he's been a good servant to Clyde.
Yeah,
and it's good that somebody like him at the tail end of his career is within touching distance of challenging for a league title.
Well, he won his first senior medal at Broadwood, so it'd be great.
Of course.
I'm making the assumptions. He's not getting any younger, you know. I don't think he's got much. I think he's contracted to the end of the season.
Yeah.
You know, it would be fantastic if he could see out his career winning another medal at Broadwood, whether it's a third division title or not.
Correct.
Having said that, Annan, absolutely going great guns.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim Chapman's done a good job down there as well.
Right. Well, again, if you look at it, he's been there a number of years now. And, that, you know, there's a lot to be said for the manager getting that.
A wee bit of continuity. It does help.
And he's very professional.
Yep.
You know, and that's maybe what's getting the points now. So, yeah, interesting league. A lot to play for, and it's hotting up, certainly. And we're even seeing that, you know, there's nothing in it for the Berwick, all the way up. Three, 4 games, you can be up there challenging.
Well, obviously, Berwick, a change of manager, John Coughlin, he's no had the best of starts, and I think he'd be the first to admit Clyde going down there and beating them 5-0 last week would have been the worst thing he could have done to start off his second spell at Berwick.
But no disrespect to John Coughlin, when they relieved Mickey Cameron of his last of the job, they were actually sitting in fifth place, I think. Yeah. And I know the league's reasonably tight, but the change of manager hasn't improved them. Hasn't moved on. I really don't understand at times how board of directors or people around football clubs. I really don't. I mean, as I said, at times you just shake your head at them. I don't know what their thought is there.
But there's a club, they've done it before. You know, I mean, I think Coughlin himself was a victim of it in the past.
He has.
As a club, they have done that before.
He has.
They've only really got a point of game or thereabouts. It's not exactly what Berwick are looking for. They want to be successful and they're ambitious.
I'm sure we the budget was there. I'm sure they would be expecting to be certainly challenging for a playoff place.
Again, what we maybe got to look at here is when the board of directors see Berwick sitting at the bottom of the league, press the panic button, because it's this safety net and trap door opening between second bottom and
again. If you look at the league table again, you're looking there, Dennis. Now they've only scored 15 goals, and they've lost 30 goals, and that's a major problem.
Yeah. Yeah, and 5 of them obviously had the cup shut up. I was going to say five of them last week. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Is there anywhere else we can go and look at some football, Cammy?
If you want, yeah. I mean, why
Scottish Cup.
Aye.
We've obviously got the Scottish Cup coming up this.
And tomorrow's fixture sees Airdrie taking on Brechin, Albion Rovers against one of Mark McLaughlin's former clubs, Morton, Ayr United, Dunfermline. That is a cracker. That's the game of the day tomorrow, no doubt, in the Scottish Cup. Cowdenbeath or Broth, Dumbarton against Alloa, Elgin Wraith, Fraserburgh make the trip down to Falkirk, Formanton United against Cove, Huntly taking on Lothian Thistle, Inverurie Locos taking on Annan, Peterhead Livingston, Queen's Park against Forfar, Stinishmuir against East Kilbride, and Stirling Albion against Cumbernauld Colts. Sees the last two Lowland League sides. Stranraer taking on Buckie. What a trip. You're in the Scottish Cup, you've had a couple of decent results, and then you draw Stranraer away.
But there's a better one. The next one you're going to see is a better one again.
The next one's even good. Oh. You know, at least Lithgow are halfway there, you know what I mean? But when Lithgow Rose made the trip up to Wick Academy.
That's not even an overnight stay, it's a weekend stay.
Inveruri, Locos, and Annan.
Well, you've got that one as well. I mean, the lunatics that run our game at times, you know, when you look at some of these ties potentially, you know, from one side of the country to the other.
Wick Academy. We'll be there.
There's Cove against Formentine, you know, at least they're in the same
league. Another few mile up the road you can fall off the country.
I've not got a problem with this. Absolutely none. To me, that's the romance of the Scottish Cup. Yeah. If you're an Linlithgow Rose player, you'll be really looking forward to being in the Scottish Cup.
A winnable game for them.
Wick Academy. You've got to fancy yourself, even though the journey is quite big. That is, for me, any footballer with ambition wants to be. Scottish Cup, third round, maybe looking to progress into the next round of fourth. And I think the big boys come in after that, don't they? So,
yeah.
You know, you look at Wick Academy and Linlithgow Rose potentially drawing one of the Old Firm.
Yeah.
I think that's absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, potentially. It sees a, you know, that, as you say, the romance of the cup, you know, and what they could potentially draw in the next round. There's certainly a couple of ties there that are intriguing, if nothing else, you know, but the United and Fairland game tomorrow has an absolute blinder written all over it.
San Cero, if it's playable, I think against Morton.
I think that'll be a really, really close tie.
Yep.
Albion Rovers, Morton, in a difficult, difficult pitch surface, without a doubt.
I'll tell you what, I would imagine Albion Rovers will want to play that tomorrow if it's, you know, with the heavy conditions.
You can't praise Derek Young enough. I mean, I think they've done fantastically well. And they actually drew with Dunfermline last Saturday and beat Cowdenbeath midweek. So to take 4 out of 6 points,
yeah,
2 home games, brilliant.
Yeah,
really, really good. And I think they're sitting in fourth place at the moment.
I think they're actually now third.
They're actually now third
behind Ayr United and Dunfermline. You
brilliant.
Know, Airdrie have slipped to fifth. You know, so as you say, he's done a fantastic job
brilliant
there,
game.
You know,
and brilliant job.
Taking them on from obviously promotion last
season. Yeah, the players have been used to winning and they've continued that good habit, going into a higher level of football, and they've shown that there isn't a gulf there at all.
Yeah, indeed.
The other tie that I think will be very, very good for a local aspect is Stirling Albion have got Cumbernauld Colts. Now, it's only up the road for the Cumbernauld supporters, so that could be actually a really, really good game.
Yep. I can't believe we're only going to play this a matter of lip service, but obviously there's been a lot to talk about in terms of Celtic and Clyde. But let's cast our eyes down south tomorrow and a top-of-the-table battle between Leicester City and Manchester United. Now, who'd have thought at the start of the season they'd have been 1-2 and that Leicester would have been the side top after 13 games? I think the three of us tipped them for relegation, but Claudio Ranieri has got the three of us and no doubt many, many pundits with a lot of egg in their faces, Andy.
He's done brilliant. He's just continued the good job that Nigel Pearson did. And my own favourite English club that I do not watch any longer, Mr. Van Gaal, just watching paint dry.
Yeah.
We were touching on that, the games that I'd watched this week that was really disappointing. And Manchester United are now, or they went to the bottom of the pile, as far as I'm concerned, for entertainment.
I mean, the one thing about Alex Ferguson, you were sitting on the edge of your seat, you knew there was going to be excitement and goals.
Yeah, indeed.
Just on, you know, David Moyes got absolutely pelters and was rushed out that door.
Yeah.
Van Gaal, as Andy says, it's worse than watching paint dry.
Will Vardy score?
Yes.
And
good night.
Mourinho will want him then.
Good night.
To bring you the best radio that we can. We now feature a programme called The